I'm a little sad.
What are you, I gave you
really cute
words.
I always want to get my hair like that.
So Kayla, how did you pull a .9 your first time? What happened there?
That's just the class, well not in class, but like here, really helped. Like I,
do what?
The explanation you had, did here,
yeah,
really helped me like understand.
Okay. Nice job. Okay, so Amanda could not be here. Not Amanda Oliva, Amanda Strano. She's ill, feeling ill today. So she had previously made videos for you all for next week. So, please don't lose these, because these are PT-sensitive data. Also, I wanted to let people know that I'm going to be attending a workshop, not this weekend, but next weekend in Connecticut, actually at Western Connecticut State University. You guys know where that is or heard of it? It's in Danbury. Anyway, it's on Friday and Saturday, and it costs $110, but I think there's a student fee, but you'd have to look into that. And on Friday, the person is going to be talking about using floor time. Is there somebody in here who used floor time? Or is it, I think it's Joanna in your class, right? She did floor time, yeah. Anyway, she works with autism spectrum disordered folks. Her name is Esther Hess. And so that's the Friday speaker. And then the Saturday speaker is Kay Edwards, and she does Santre therapy. So if you want to learn about Santre therapy, you could go to that. The Friday workshop goes from 8:30 in the morning to 3 p.m. and the Saturday one goes from 8:30 to 4. So I am going to both days, and I printed out two flyers. If people want to take it, that's fine. But one should just be passed around. And if you want your own flyer, I can get you a copy. Okay? But I think it's a great opportunity if you have some time this weekend, Friday and Saturday, to do it. Not this weekend, next weekend, sorry. Okay. And so what was it like coding the same video? Was it easier this time? Harder? Did our conversation last week benefit you in completing the task again? Get your feedback.
Yeah, it definitely helped. Like for me personally, like hearing other people's perspectives, I could then see like how that made sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was just my perspective, I automatically put it in that category, but now I had like other, you know, other people's like thoughts, I guess. So I guess that's why I was moved on.
Okay. Doreen.
I still have
you were the one most worried about.
Yes, my abilities.
Right, and boy, you squashed all doubts, right?
Well, I went over the golden standard, and there's some still few items that I would, if we have time at some point, I would love to hear other people's thoughts, because I still don't see what the golden standard score compares to me. I don't see why as much. I have a few items.
Okay. All right. Well, what was the experience like for you?
No, I
doing
think
it again.
Definitely helped. That's why I'm bringing those items, because I feel like the discussion really helps to get the other perspective. So I think the more we do it, the more we get better at it.
All right. Anybody else? Silence is deafening.
Also, it's like harder to do something the first time, and then the second time, as you get more used to it, I feel like you become more familiar. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's why we're going to be practicing. I thought it would be interesting to have you do exactly the same video again and see whether your views changed from the two times that you did the video. Like when you did it, when you coded the second time, did you notice you were putting the items in different piles based on the conversation that we had in here last week? That's what I was hoping to hear about. Maybe that didn't help.
No, it did. That's why I feel like that's why a lot of us were more reliable. I mean, like for myself, like I said, like the conversations before I had heard from other people, I didn't even consider some of those in those categories. So, and then I was hearing one person and then two and then three feeling that way, and I was like, okay, maybe I was off.
Okay. So this is the second output file. So it's on page 3, and as you can see, I once again turn this off. I once again sorted the 100 items in descending order according to the standard deviation. So these numbers are the standard is the standard deviation of all of your ratings, including the gold standard, actually. So I ordered them like this because, as I said last week, I think it gives us a sense of which items you disagreed the most on, were most discrepant on. That's what standard deviation does for us. So actually, if you remember last week, we had like 9 items, I believe, that had standard deviation of 2 or higher. As you can see this week, there are no items that had a standard deviation of 2 or higher. Now next week, when you send me your ratings, it'll be a totally brand new video. And I would anticipate that there will be discrepancies of 2 or more for this next video, but because you've already had the experience of having done this video once before, plus you had the advantage of benefiting from a conversation around the items that people were discrepant on, this is what I would expect. No standard deviations of 2 or more, but I'm guaranteeing that next week there will be standard deviations of 2 or more, and we'll talk about those items. But while we're here and while we're talking about these items, we can talk about some of the higher ones. So item 40, for example, seems to be the one that people had the most difficulty with. So we'll see what item 40 is. Child communicates without affect. Placing characteristic direction, child speaks or presents information in a monotone or affectless manner. It's uncharacteristic if the child's communications are affect-laden. For example, child expresses different affects through a varied voice range, make-believe characters, postures, right? They're showing their affect versus being monotone, talking like a robot, affectless. Nothing going on. Okay, so let's look at where you guys placed your ratings. So we have the gold standard is right here, 1.5. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one of the two raters that comprise the gold standard put this item in pile 1 and the other person put it in pile 2. Can't be any other way. There's no rating lower than 1, so powers of deduction, one and two. So one or two would be satisfactory. Three, I'll accept. Anything over three, though, would be off, in my view. Because we're looking at discrepancies of plus or minus two. So look at that. It's beautiful. Beautiful. But let's see what's on the next page. Okay, so the reason for the high standard deviation was Kasia. So tell me, what's going on with this one?
I think I misread it and put it on the other side.
Okay, so a brief moment of dyslexia.
Yeah, because I didn't think she was like affectless.
Okay, yeah. All right, so that solves that problem. So let's go back. Item 46 is the next one, and let's look at item 46. Therapist tolerates child's strong affect or impulses. It's characteristic if the therapist allows expression of strong affect without modification, either verbally or through action. So,
I'm sorry, number 46.
Oh, 46, sorry. I'm reading the wrong one. Therapist interprets the meaning of the child's play. Place and characteristic direction of therapist clarifies, explains the meaning, or conveys the significance of the child's play. Now, let's just stop right there. What if the child isn't playing at all? What would you do with this item?
Five.
I would also consider a four or a six if you have to move around your items to make room for other items, but middle pile, right? Okay. Therapist points out that the child's act of banging to force puzzle pieces together may have something to do with his frustration that he can't make his parents reunite. This is assuming that the child is a product of a divorced parents, right? Place an uncharacteristic direction of therapist avoids interpreting the meaning of the child's play, even when the play is clearly linked to a meaningful event or feeling. So let's say that you get the sense that there's an event that's going on that's just dying for an interpretation, like the situation just screaming out for it, please interpret me, and the therapist just passes that by and doesn't do anything about it. That would be a one or a two. Okay, if there are really no opportunities to interpret, like what we were saying, if there's no play, that would go in a five. So everybody understand the item? So having said all that, let's go to the item, and we see here that the experts, the gold standard is five. So they either there was no play or they felt that the therapist might have interpreted a few things, but not enough to make a characteristic of the session, right? It was neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic. So one of those, I don't know, but let's look at what other people put. So we're looking at plus or minus two, right? So anywhere from three to seven, I could live with. So Doreen put in two. We got fives and sixes. That's great. We'll hold your thought. I don't know if this is one of the ones that you wanted to talk about.
Actually, yes.
Okay. Let's look at the others. We've got 5, 6, 4, and 2, that would be low. 2 would be low. And we got a 7 from Stephanie. So we have a 2, a 7, and a 2. So Kasia and Doreen said 2. Stephanie said 7. Actually, 7 would be within plus or minus 2. So it's the 2s really that are concerning. So you feel as though the therapist avoided interpreting meaning of the child's play.
Yes.
Okay, next item. Moving right along.
I felt like there were so many opportunities to dig deeper because she said some things that could have had an opening to something, and she didn't go that direction. So
for example?
When she's like, she made her like be the mother and do cook dinner. I think it was like not lasagna, but something big ziti. And she was putting the baby to sleep. So there was so many opportunities there that she's the one who's taking care of her little sibling, and the mother doesn't have time. And I felt like maybe there was something over there. And she spoke about her friends a lot.
What's the name? Jan Brooke.
Oh,
yeah,
Jan.
Brooke. A lot about Brooke, but also, I don't know, maybe I'm seeing it wrong, but I felt that if I was there, then I would sense that maybe there's something underlined in that game.
What would you have said?
So with the mom and the baby interaction,
mm-hmm.
I would ask a little bit more. Oh, so is this
okay? Let's stop you right there.
Okay.
Asking is not interpreting. They're two totally separate interventions.
Okay.
Asking questions is not interpretation. Interpretation would be, you seem frustrated that you can't make your parents reunite. That's an interpretation. That's not a question.
Okay.
Okay.
Inquiry
is not interpretation. And I get it. Most of you in this room have never seen a child in therapy before, right? I don't know whether the second years have any child cases yet. You do. Yes, that's right. Margarita? Amanda? No. So only one person in the room has even seen a child in therapy other than me. So I can appreciate having difficulty making distinctions between interpretations and other types of interventions made with children.
Okay.
Does that help? Does that help? A question is not an interpretation.
But do you feel she's done interpretation?
I mean, she could have done more, certainly.
But I did, even if now that I understand its interpretation, it's not a question, I still don't see so much any type almost of intervention that's like more therapeutic. I just felt like she was more passive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You felt like there were opportunities to be proactive. But
yes.
Why.
Well, being proactive is very different from being interpretive.
Yeah, but
I could show you a video of a guy, Gary Landreth, who is the world's leading child-centered play therapy clinician. And he's extremely active. He does not make any interpretations. He only tracks. He tracks people. Oh, so you're putting the blocks on the table now. Oh, so now you're moving the little doll up and down. Oh, you really know how to draw that picture. There's no interpretation. He's very active.
Okay.
So activity doesn't necessarily equal interpretation.
So what he does, what would you call that?
I call that reflection or tracking.
Okay. So for this item, what did the golden standard say? I'm just... So they felt it's non-applicable?
That this therapist made some interpretive remarks, but it probably wasn't characteristic of the session. It was neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic. Somewhere in the middle. Taylor, you take careful notes, right?
Yes, I left them at home, but...
You left them at home!
But I remember, so
okay.
She said, it seems like you like taking care of that baby.
Yes.
That's an interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's an interpretation. She's interpreting the child's affect.
I feel like she did that a couple.
She did it a few times, and she said,
yeah.
It's like
gold standards.
Yeah, like with the whole camera thing. Oh, you're curious about who's watching you. That's
so again, you're interpreting their affect. Gary Landreth wouldn't do that. He's strictly all about tracking and reflecting what the patient says or what they're doing, but not intuiting what you think they might be feeling or thinking. That's going a step beyond, and that's called interpretation.
So do you think that that's, what do you advise as like a more optimal therapy move? Like,
well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what you actually see in the video.
No, I know, but I'm just curious, like, with your experience.
Well, I'm more interpretive because I'm psychodynamically oriented, and that's what we do. That's the bread and butter.
Gotcha.
Right, Stephanie?
Yeah.
We're just starting out on a case, but actually, Stephanie's not doing any interpretation right now, but we're going to get into that as we move along with this case. But anyway... interpretation is something that psychodynamic folks do a lot. We do make it, we intuit what we think the patient is thinking and feeling, and then we say it. And the patient's free to say, no, that's not what I'm thinking or feeling. Then we can say, well, you're defending against this feeling because it makes you feel uncomfortable. That's psychodynamic work. This patient, this therapist, is learning, and she was supervised by me, and she's not real skilled yet, so she's not going to make as many interpretations as I might make, because she's not seeing it the way I'm seeing it. I see things under the surface, and she's learning how to do that. So this is not looking at some brilliant, you know, like Anna Freud working with a child here, or Melanie Klein. This is a student, right? So I would tend to agree with the 5 that the gold standard gave. Does that make sense, Kasia? Because you had a 2 also.
Yeah, I guess I was like thinking, interpreting that like flat out saying like, oh, are you playing this way because you know, you're taking care of your sister at home, and just being very like matter of fact. But I guess I understand now that it's...
It doesn't have to be at that deep level, uh-huh. Right? Like we're going to make a huge interpretation about this place, situation mirrors something that's going on in your home life.
Right.
You know, be with your parents. It doesn't have to be that complex or sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as, you know, you seem upset with your play right now, and I wonder why that is. Well,
mm-hmm.
Seeming upset, child didn't say I'm upset,
mm-hmm.
Or she's upset. You're intuiting that based on what you see, what you hear, what you're feeling, your countertransference reaction, all of that plays a role in the interpretation of affect. That's still an interpretation,
mm-hmm.
I would argue.
I just want to make it clear, so if you would consider it an observation, the point in the video when the child was like playing in front of the camera and dancing and stuff and waving, and then the therapist was like, oh, you're very aware of the camera. You're like all about the camera today. That's like an observation.
That's more of a reflection.
Okay.
That's not really she's not really interpreting anything. She's just really reflecting what the child is actually doing. You know,
yeah.
If I'm raising my hand up and down and you said, oh, you're raising your hand up and down. I'm
no,
not, you're not interpreting anything.
I know, obviously, but like she said, you're aware of the camera. Like I don't know. I just consider
it means
that
you're you see the camera.
Okay.
That would not be, I wouldn't call that an interpretation. That's more of a reflection.
Okay.
You like to perform for the camera. Now that is an interpretation.
Yeah.
Right?
And just to be clear, she's not, while the therapist is not avoiding the interpretation, you wouldn't say she's avoiding anything?
I wouldn't say so. I don't think she's avoiding interpreting.
Okay.
You didn't put it in a 2.
No, I didn't. But I remember, well, I think we had a conversation conversation about this as a group the last time we met, and I feel like that came up.
Where she's avoiding?
Yeah.
Interpreting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't remember that. Did we talk about this item last week?
No, not this item, but I think maybe... Because there is another item. Yes, that, like, they actually, like, almost quoting, like, if the therapist, the child feels this way, and then the therapist say, oh, I see you feel upset, or oh, I see. So these are one of the items we did speak about.
Well, no two items overlap. These items were very carefully vetted not to overlap with each other. Yes, there's, I mean, there could be some correlation between items, but generally they were chosen.
Maybe
a woman at University of California, Berkeley, conducted her dissertation with Jack Block, and she culled from a larger set of items, like 400 items, and she culled them down to this 100. And each of these items is not supposed to overlap conceptually with each other. And they're supposed to be items that could be fairly frequently seen in a typical child psychotherapy session. So those were the criteria that she used to select the items. So I'd be surprised to hear or to see two items almost completely overlap with each other. If you can think of the other item, we can take a look.
I can try to think about it and see if I find
okay.
it. But it wasn't overlapping. It was similar idea. I'm not saying it was overlapping, but I'm saying maybe this is the one she maybe is talking about.
Misremembering.
Oh, like kind of like maybe the daydreams and the active imagination. I don't know. That might be one that's similar, two that are similar.
Maybe. If I can remember, I will bring it up again.
Okay.
Was the word daydream in the item itself?
Yeah.
Child's dreams or fantasies are discussed?
No, that's not. No, that wasn't the one.
That's the only item that contains the word daydreams, at least according to this search I just did.
Is there another item that says interpretation?
Let me check. You're getting all your Q sorts mixed up, right?
I know.
Therapist points out child's use of defenses.
Did we talk about that last?
No, we didn't. We definitely didn't. Because she misspells the word defenses.
I know.
Child ignores or rejects therapist comments and observations. No? That's it? Maybe you dreamed it? It's your daydream. All right, so I think we've beaten a dead horse here for 46. How about 42? What is 42? Let's see. Child ignores and rejects therapist comments and observations. It's characteristic if the child disagrees, ignores, or rejects therapist, basically anything the therapist says, right? Therapist makes interpretation, child remarks in response to therapist remarks, just forget about it, covers ears, talks over therapist, right? So resisting the therapist's intervention. Uncharacteristic of child responds with more elaborated play, comments, associations to therapist remarks. So the child there then facilitates the therapist's comments by giving more. The opposite of resisting, accepting. Right? The child is accepting. So, given this rubric, the gold standard here is 7.5, which could mean that one expert rated it a 7 and the other rated it an 8. So basically, this child was rejecting, ignoring, avoiding, resisting the therapist's comments. That's a characteristic aspect of this session. And so what do we have here? We have 8, 8, 7, 3. All right, hold that thought. You think so? Let's see. 7, 8, 8, 8, 9. Wow. Okay. So you're correct. You want to talk about 3? Or do you want to wave the white flag?
I didn't really see that, but I guess I agree with everyone.
Anyone want to make the case for a characteristic, this child being resistant to the therapist?
I think it had to do with more ignoring. There were some questions where she just did not answer. She just did not care that you could answer.
So the therapist says, for example,
it happens at the beginning.
The general comments also.
Yeah.
My rat was
like, "Oh, I didn't
do this at home." Or bat. Yeah, exactly. It's like, why? Oh, so why didn't you do this at home? You're supposed to do this at home. Ignores her.
I see exactly what you're saying, Joe, because when they were dissecting the thing,
she
was trying to use that as an opportunity. The therapist was trying to use that as an opportunity to, like, talk therapy stuff, and she was just, like, wanting, she was too involved in, like, what was it, a frog?
It was like a owl pellet with, like, rat bones in it, and, like, during that point, her, like,
how do you know?
She's a proctologist.
That was so oddly specific that you remember.
Yeah, but, like, I do remember that whenever the therapist said anything, she would just be like, wow, look at this bone. Like, did not care. It was just interested in the little bones.
Also in the camera, several times she asked her, "Oh, why? Who's behind? Who's watching?" And she completely ignored her.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with the camera. She was very, like, she said something to the camera like 5 times.
Yeah.
So just, so when she doesn't want to answer, her defense is to just ignore, just won't respond, and then maybe she'll leave me alone. So that's what they were looking at. All right, so we go to item 50. Item 50. Therapist draws attention to feelings regarded by the child as unacceptable, anger, envy, excitement. Now this could be an interpretation, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out there. So, placing characteristic direction if the therapist comments upon or emphasizes the child's feelings that are considered inappropriate, wrong, or dangerous by the child. For example, therapist remarks the child sometimes feels jealousy toward her more successful brother. That's definitely an interpretation. All right. And by saying it and not punishing the child, the therapist is also providing a implicit acceptance of that feeling, right? I can say to you that you're feeling jealous, and you see there's no punishment there because your feelings are okay. The therapist is not going to say, hey, your feelings are okay. But through the interpretation and nothing else happening, the patient gets the sense that, oh, he's accepting my feelings of jealousy without criticizing me. So feeling jealousy must be okay, which it is. You can feel whatever you want. It's acting on feelings that are problematic for the human race, right? So, uncharacteristic, the therapist avoids focus on feelings or reactions that the child finds difficult to recognize or accept. So if the patient says, you know, my brother was a jerk. He is the worst person ever. He thinks he's so high and mighty because he's making some money now. And he won't buy me an ice cream cone when he comes home from work. I hate him. The therapist says, oh, okay. So, how about that rat pellet? Whatever. Right? So, the therapist there should say, sounds as though you might be feeling jealous about your brother and his success. Rather, the therapist says, oh, how about that rat pellet? So avoids the focus on feelings or reactions that the child finds difficult to recognize or accept. Okay, we understand how to code the item. So let's go to the actual session. And we have here that the experts placed this item in pile 7, which means that the therapist's drawing attention to feelings regarding the child is unacceptable was a characteristic of this session. Not strongly characteristic, but nevertheless characteristic of this session. That's something that the therapist did. I guess with enough frequency to make it characteristic. Not extremely so, but characteristic. So that's a 7. And what do we got? We've got 7, 5. I'll accept that. 8, 5. I'll accept that. 5, 8, 3. No. 7 and 6. So really the only one that would be outside the realm, plus or minus 2, would be Amanda.
So I did not see it as a characteristic part of the session at all. So I don't know if maybe you guys could tell me what you thought was characteristic. Like what you saw. Because I don't remember the child talking about anything that they felt was unacceptable. I think there was one part where she talked about her sister, like why her sister would be an actress and she would be a singer because her sister's a mean or something like that.
What the sister was
something
that you
made me think of. Right. Like maybe I would have put it in the middle, but I still wouldn't have put it like a 7 or 8.
Taylor, you have copious notes. Amanda has notes on this too, but she's not here.
Amanda's convincing me.
I mean the other Amanda.
Yeah,
this
Amanda.
Oh, okay.
Why did I read it so high?
Yeah, I took notes as well, but I'm looking for now.
Wait, what was the gold standard for this?
7.
Yeah, maybe I would put it as like a 5.
Yeah, I just didn't see it.
So.
I gave it 5.
Okay, so most of you, let's see.
You scroll, please.
So,
Cheryl.
Yes,
yeah,
Cheryl and
Kayla,
you guys definitely saw it, so justify it.
I feel like I moved it. I didn't need to make room, so I moved it up because I could remember the thing when her talking about her dramatic little sister, but her dramatic sister, and then her grandmother being disgusted by the rat pellet, and how she didn't want to deal with her like disgusting rat pellet, and she didn't want it in the house. So I think I moved it up because of that. But I think originally I put it more closer.
So now, did the therapist say something?
Yeah, she kind of commented on it. Like, she was just like,
do you remember what she said?
Not off the top of my head, though, but I remember she did say something after that. And the child did like interact and like elaborate on it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the sister that also made me put it like high. And I don't know if I thought also the sexual part, like when she says, oh, I like someone, or I feel like I write in my diary if I like someone, or, and she kind of like she commented, she emphasized it.
The therapist did.
Yeah. So I think these are the two things that made me put it on a 7.
I remember her reaction, like her acting out her grandmother's reaction to the owl pellet, and how like she was like really, really dramatic about it, like, oh my god, ew. Like she was acting it out to the therapist, and the therapist didn't make her feel bad about her, and it was just like, oh, she just wouldn't like it. She didn't say it'd be gross, and she said, yeah. Like, I just remember that conversation, that's what stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm. So then what did the therapist say to draw attention to feelings regarded by the child as unacceptable?
I would say that the child was acting out the grandma's like reaction as like comical and like kind of like almost making fun of the grandma for like thinking it was gross. And the therapist didn't like scold her or anything like that. But she did bring attention to like, oh, like it seems like your grandma like wouldn't like doesn't like things like this, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I remember putting it in that category, in the high category, because of the diary part. I don't remember the specifics of the conversation, but I remember the child was expressing, like, I don't know, sadness that Tupé lost their diary or something like that.
The little sister ripped up her diary.
Yeah, the little sister ripped up the diary and, like, felt a certain way. I don't know if she directly expressed that, but the therapist, like, commented on it.
So, I mean, hearing what everybody's comments are, I probably would have put it in a 5, but a 3 would suggest uncharacteristic. So did this therapist avoid focusing on feelings or reactions that the child found difficult? Was she avoiding that?
No. So when you were just reading it over, I think I was just reading at the top part that draws attention to, but I wasn't thinking of it as avoiding. So I would put it in a 5.
Yes. Okay. So we have some consensus here. All right, so let's forge ahead. Number 35. 35, let's see what 35 is. Child self-image is a theme. Placed toward characteristic direction of child's feelings, attitudes, perceptions of self, right? Not sister, not family, not friends, self, are a theme, whether positive or negative, doesn't matter. For example, child claims that she's really good at sports, not very smart when it comes to schoolwork, discusses themes related to gender identity. That would count as well. Uncharacteristic of the child's self-image is avoided or has little or no part in dialogue or play when expected. I would emphasize the word avoided because if child's self-image just doesn't come up, that's more of a middle pile. But if the play or if the therapist comments are, pulling for the child to talk about him or herself and they're not doing it, then it would definitely be in a 1 or a 2 pile. Does that make sense? So let's look at what you guys put. First, we look at the gold standard, which is 7. So that means that in the observation of the two experts, the child's self-image was a theme. Okay, so we got 6, 7, 5, 8. That's okay there. Seven, 6, 4, and 3. So the 4 and the 3 would be problematic. That would be Amanda and Kasia.
I think I just felt that it wasn't really brought up. Not that it was necessarily avoided, I just would have maybe rated it in a 5 then.
Can people think of specific examples when self-image was a theme in the session?
I
say anything else about herself?
She didn't say, but like the way she acted a little bit with the dancing and the performance and...
That's interpreting.
That doesn't
count. look at the...
Because it says perception of self. So
perceptions, you don't know what... she's dancing, she might not be thinking about herself at all. She could be thinking of Katy Perry. I mean, who knows what she's thinking about?
Yeah.
Is she thinking about herself? Maybe. Maybe not.
What about her attitude? Because she kind of was presenting in like a very like confident sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying. This item is really...
is it more explicit?
Targeting verbal attitude. Verbal attitude. Yeah, Taylor.
So I think that we related to like Demar's class and how when you think about the session, you think about themes, you think about dissecting school and Gia and Brooke and being the mother, you think about the boy and the diary and the camera. Self-image doesn't really, I don't know, for me personally, self-image doesn't pop up as a main theme. Maybe that's the way.
So maybe a 5 or maybe a 6, because she did say I'm good at singing, so that made me put it at a 6.
Yeah. But they had it in 7, the quotas.
Yeah.
So
okay, they're off by 1. Remember I said plus or minus 2 I'd be happy with.
No, I'm saying if we're only relying on that sentence, that's why I'm surprised, because 7 is all, it's
characteristic. It doesn't
right.
mean it's high.
So I'm just surprised based on what? Because if it's not based on that sentence, what other things, if not the perception, gave it this weight?
We do not have the experts here to inquire of them why they placed it in 7. So I don't know, but they might have misplaced it. Maybe they felt that when she said, I'm really good at singing, that was like a very important, pivotal moment in the session. Now, that's also the case if there's something that's really momentous that goes on in the session. It happens once, but maybe it's so characteristic, it kind of defines the session, then that would bump it up. Like, I told you that experience I had with that foster care child many, many years ago who pulled his pants down in the session. I mean, that actually took up not more than 5 seconds of a 45-minute session. But for me... Here I am talking about this session 20 years later. I'm remembering 5 minutes out of one session out of hundreds that I've conducted in my life, maybe thousands, over 20 years. That 5 seconds defined not only that session for me, but that child for me 20 years later. I can tell you, like one or two other memories I have of that child from 20 years ago. That one stands out as the most momentous memory. It took up 5 seconds of the session. Right? But if I had the sexual theme item, that would be in pile 9 for me.
Absolutely.
Because he did that and then I commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal.
Right.
So it was very characteristic. So maybe when she said, I'm really good at singing, maybe these two experts thought, oh, this is like a very momentous moment in this session, I'm going to bump it up to a 7. I don't know, did anyone feel that was a momentous, was like a turning point or a fulcrum for the rest of the session when she said that? Anybody sense that? Or did she just say kind of offhandedly, the therapist really didn't comment on it and the session moved on?
I mean, I would say that it did because I feel like that's the moment where she started being a little bit more like show-offy, like talking about like the talent show and like doing that little dance performance, but then that doesn't really count because that's not really part of the item. But
right.
I guess it maybe influenced her tact that way, so maybe it was a turning point.
But you're saying we cannot conclude something like that when we
do
just this item?
Dancing, I mean... the therapist needed to comment on that. And get her to talk about what's going on at that moment, and she didn't do that, right? So you can't use that for this item because she's not saying, hey, I'm a great dancer too, in addition to being a great singer. She didn't say that. Look at my dance moves. Look at me. She didn't do any. She didn't say any of that.
I feel like the limitation of any instrument, like any instrument, but definitely the cusort, is that it gives opportunity to misinterpret or loosely interpret, because no matter how much you spell something out, I feel like it can be loosely interpreted. I'm not saying for all these items, some of these are very direct.
Well, that's why we're training. This is what the training is for, so that we can more clearly define what these items actually mean. And as we clearly define them for everybody, our reliabilities are going to keep increasing. That's the goal.
Right.
So I agree with you, and that's why I urge everybody not to use too much clinical inference in their placement of these items. Like, stay more at the surface. Don't go into these ruminations about what is in the therapist's mind or what's in the child's mind. We really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We only know what they're telling us.
Mm-hmm. As long as we're 2 standard deviation away, we're considered.
Well, that's not standard deviation. Standard deviations is something different. This is just a placement of plus or minus 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, hopefully as we get to more training, it's be plus and minus 1. Right, as you get more skilled at Q-sorting using this instrument. Let's do one more and we'll end early. How's that? Because these items, I mean, you guys did pretty well because you had already had the experience of coding. This particular session. Anyway. So 48 is therapist sets limits. Therapist defines parameters regarding the behavior actions of the child. For example, therapist encourages the child to hit a doll instead of her, or outlines the rules of conduct for the session. You can't hit me. You can't hurt property. You can do pretty much anything else. Right? You can't scream at the top of your lungs because that might interfere with someone else's session. Whatever.
Yeah.
Place an uncharacteristic direction if therapist appears uncomfortable with child's behavior and refrains from intervening and responding. So the same kid who I talked about who pulled down his pants, in another session, he got on top of a table and was going to jump off the table. And so I had to make the decision about whether to set a limit on him or allow him to jump off the table, right? Holly?
Yes. Yeah, so
you know what I did?
What did you do?
You raised your hand. I got, maybe you were going to tell me what I did.
I was going to say something else.
Go ahead.
So I thought this was definitely not applicable, and like obviously the occasion.
No, wait. We're not talking about the session yet. We're just talking about the understanding of the item.
Okay.
Do you understand the item?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about the item?
No, I was just going to comment on this.
Okay, just wait. Anybody have any questions about the item, how we're interpreting it? Kasia?
Is this like kind of similar to the item? I don't know which number it is, but the one that says like therapist is protective of the child?
Protective
or like making sure that the child doesn't get hurt?
Well, setting limits could mean protecting furniture. It could mean protecting the child, yeah, or it could mean protecting the therapist,
mm-hmm.
right? Setting limits so that behaviors and actions don't get out of control. So item 60. Therapist protects the child from harm or negative consequences. For example, therapist encourages the child to think of other ways to behave in certain situations in order to avoid physical or psychic pain. So that would be like giving advice to the child about what to do on the playground when the bullies come after you. So that's different from setting limits in the session itself. This is like telling the child, okay, so when you're on the playground with the bullies, stay near the teacher. And if the bullies come after you, tell the teacher right away.
Okay. So if the child is behaving in some way like about to jump off the table and the therapist is trying to stop the child,
that'd be setting limits
protected
on the child in the moment.
That's just limiting the...
Yeah.
But then uncharacteristic would be there's nothing when a child climbs onto a wobbly table.
Oh, look at that. Thank you. Therapist does not intervene around child's unsafe or risk-taking behavior. For example, therapist does nothing when child climbs onto a wobbly table. So if I had done nothing for this item, you put it in uncharacteristic direction. Now, for setting limits, let's say in another part of the session, I had said, don't throw the doll against the wall because you'll break it.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do in that case? In the case of protective of child, it might go in an uncharacteristic pile if I had not said anything to this child about jumping off the table. But if I had said to the kid, don't throw the doll against the wall, you'll break it, I did set limits there. So in the setting limits item, I might put it in a middle pile because in one hand I didn't set a limit, in the other hand I did.
Mm-hmm.
But for protecting the child, I definitely didn't. It was uncharacteristic, so I put this in a low pile.
Okay.
So I'm trying to distinguish the two items for you, how to rate them.
Okay, so if a therapist were to stop a child from climbing onto a wobbly table,
that would also be
setting limits?
Yes.
Okay.
It's also saying, but let's say the kid goes ape shit with my toys and throws them all over the room and I don't say anything. I didn't set limits there, so it's still going to middle pile because on the one hand, I set limits regarding the child's own safety,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't set limits regarding destruction of my property.
Okay.
Stephanie.
I kind of separate the two of them, like protective of the child in terms of getting hurt. I mean, it says physical or psychic pain, like
mm-hmm.
don't climb on like the wobbly table. You would usually say, oh, don't go on there, you're going to get hurt because it's wobbly. But then if they're throwing a doll, that's more of just like a social nuance, like you shouldn't destroy things that aren't yours, and you're setting the limit that way.
Mm-hmm.
But throwing the doll, nobody's going to get hurt unless it comes back.
Ricochets back like a bullet.
Yeah. But that's like, you wouldn't say, oh, don't throw the doll at the wall, it might come back and hit you. You would say, like, oh, that's not nice. Like other people, like you wouldn't say that to the kid, but that's the meaning behind you setting that limit. So that makes sense.
Yep, it does. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're going to learn how to set limits on patients at some point in your practices. Gary Landris says, tables are not for standing on. That's how he would phrase it. That's how he would set a limit. Tables are not for standing on. So let's see how people did. So this is item, we said 48, right? It's item 48?
Yeah.
Pile 5 is the gold standard. You got 4, 5, 5, 4. No problems. For 8, 2, 6, 5. So the 8 and the 2. Cheryl and Amanda.
So for the 2, I didn't see it, so I would put it in the 4 or 5.
Okay, so you're capitulating immediately.
Yes. I put it too high. It should have been, I would put it in a 6 or a 7, but an 8 is.
So you think that she did set limits?
I think that she did set limits.
Can you remember when?
I don't know if this even counts as a limit, but when she said that when the kid wanted to have the diary,
yeah,
like she's like, oh, we can't, this, like, I don't know about that, if we could save it for you, but you know, because I thought that was a definite limit, because that she was about to put her personal life into the diary, you know.
Right, so she's setting a limit on the child's behavior.
Yeah, so I mean, I put it in 5, but I would have definitely put in 6 or 7 looking back.
Okay, but in all fairness to your earlier self, right, the one who originally put it in 5, you know, it's only one example, right?
Yeah, I mean.
So how characteristic, were there others?
I feel like there were others. That's the only one I can remember. I wouldn't put it in 7 just because of that one thing, though. But I might put it in 6.
What did you ask for it to?
5.
Yeah. I feel like it was something at the beginning of the section, but I don't.
That she wanted to do something and then the therapist said no?
Yeah, like when they were cleaning up, I don't remember exactly.
Right,
I put it too high.
Ask the dissectionist.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I felt she was low on setting limits.
That she was low.
Because the child, I mean, not too low.
You put it 4.
Yeah.
The middle pile.
Yeah, but towards the low.
You think she should have set more limits?
Yes, but if we're trying to answer the question, because a lot of things, like the child did whatever she wants. And the therapist just followed the law.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Setting limits means you're trying to curb her behavior in a certain way because you want to protect your toys, you want to protect her, you want to protect yourself. You know, you want to protect her confidentiality. I assume that's why she said don't write in a diary, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Protecting confidentiality, but not like protecting her from talking about whatever she wants. That's not what we're talking about here.
No, I meant limits in terms of like the play, or like she didn't tell her, no, we're going to do this now, or no, we're going to do this now. Like the child more led the therapy. And
that's the kind of therapy this is that she's doing. It's called psychodynamic.
No, but what during what you're talking about, I feel like the item that would be most, like, that would correspond to that most is something I put in the earlier categories that I'm sure. Therapist actively exerts control over the interaction.
Oh, yeah.
That might,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like trying to control therapy.
And that didn't happen.
Right, so that was low.
Okay, so we reviewed, 6 items today. Not too bad. Is this helping? So we've done 2. We've actually done only 1 video, but we've done 2 cue sorts. Let's do a new video for next week. You have the videos, and get them to me. What did I say, Tuesday night?
Wednesday night.
Okay, Wednesday night. Right.
Mine is not working. Taylor is trying to help me, but it doesn't upload.
What's not working?
The
no? Here, let me try it. Let's try another one.
So what does this child have? Can you tell us the secret?
I'm not going to tell you because that's going to influence your ratings.
But we're not at ratings are anymore, right?
The last chat that we have.
These are going to we're going to continue with this.
Oh, same child?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is the same.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, if you guys didn't get me the envelope, there's like a half people missing. So.
Are you keeping track of who gives them back to you and who doesn't?
Yes. So whoever has to give them back to me, just do that, and we're taking a break with the data entry because we're waiting on more of the weekly data in the Manhattan Project study. So.